Yes, guys, what's good? You're tuned into Mango Masala, Pi Radio South Asian Show. My name's Gaines. I'm here with Simran.
Hi, how's it going? Carlos told me I need to start episodes with more energy, so
yeah,
here we are.
I said more energy, not more sarcasm. So,
okay, we are recording two episodes today, and it's only me and Carlos, and it has only been me and Carlos since 8:40 this morning.
8:40 triggers,
right? So this might devolve into chaos. Carlos might bully me. He is our HR. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, there is nothing. Like, I think that was one on another list of things, wasn't it?
We've had all day. There's a dining table there. We have spent the entire day at that table coming up with ideas.
You have. I've been working and you've been sitting across from me, like scribbling down, looking very
like
serious.
A mad person.
Dear diary. For goodness sake. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting couple of episodes.
Yeah, strap in.
Get yourself a cup of tea.
Yes, we've had many.
Simran's made them all today. The last one she gave, she put sugar in.
It was an act. I got the mugs confused.
Which is a rookie error. But yeah, I think let's kick off. I'm spoiled for choice. You know what? Let's kick off because I wanted to actually talk about this whole thing of actually like planning shows. Because those people that work in radio, you will know that you're meant to vigorously plan in the sense that you're meant to know exactly what you're going to say on air. Obviously not word for word, but you're meant to know exactly the topics that you're going to discuss, the kind of vibe that you're going to be going for how long as well. Because when you're live on air, you're obviously in a time constraint. We very much wing it every single week.
We have planned episodes, don't get me wrong, as in we have a chit chat about like what do we want to discuss on this episode, but God, we've never done it like we're gonna do 15 minutes on this and 10 minutes.
Do you know
this.
Why is because when we first started the first couple of episodes, I was there on my Google Doc being like, right, we're gonna do this, it's gonna be this amount of time, and I quickly realized that the style of show that we are, there's no point in doing that because it's just not.
Especially when there's all three of us.
Yeah, we just talk for days and it's just not. So it's nice to kind of have a bit of a switch up today. We've actually given a lot of thought into, it might not seem like we have, but we actually have given a lot of thought into what we're going to be discussing for this week and next week's episode. And yeah, I think we should do this more often. Especially seeing as two of us have a lot of time on their hands at the moment. No, but Simran was sat there. And I was like, this is the most that I've worked in the past 2 months. So I was like, okay.
We are also joined by a very special guest who doesn't normally come on the show because normally she's sat over there. We're here
Poppadom's
with
Poppadom's on the podcast.
Poppadom! What do you have to say to the people? She has spoken.
She's shy. The one time that she's actually shy, the rest of the time she's a demon.
Yeah.
So, Simran, you're obviously here in person, which is nice. Nice of you to show up once in your life.
Brought the good weather to Manchester, as always.
She did, actually. But you've also had a bit of a first experience as well on Tuesday. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Me in Manchester and firsts are a very common theme throughout the last few years of the show. And every time I come here, Carlos shows me a new part of Manchester. Like yesterday, you showed me...
We basically drove from town through to South Manchester. So I was basically showing Simran like where Halima grew up, like Longside.
Yeah,
we drove through.
Tour.
Yeah, Burnage. I was like,
that's
Oasis
it,
grew up here. And yeah. All the sites.
Yeah.
My old school as well. But
this week, I went to my first football game. There's no other way to say
it. Yeah, I was really... Why were you trying to figure out a different way to say it? Like, there's no need to complicate it.
I was going
to
say, like, I became, like, a football hooligan, and then I realised, like, I really wasn't a football hooligan, and I've complained about them on the past in this show, so I wasn't that. Mm. But I did go to my first football game, a Man United game. I thought you were going to say something about Man United.
Well, you know what? I'm just happy that you're getting involved.
I don't think I'm the person to really have this debate about like the quality of football or like who's a better team. I'm not that person. I was just there for the vibes and I had a great time.
For context, it was a good match for someone that really doesn't really care about football to go to.
So I've never been to a sports game, period. Like, I've never seen professional sports, which is a bit crazy. The only football game I've seen is someone I went to high school with, their sibling played for a football team, and that was like not that serious. It was in like a park. This was so cool. So it's Man United versus Barnsley. And I went with people from Barnsley and they were expecting to lose, right? But they did lose 7-0. So great game for me to watch as like a first time football game, sports game, whatever. It was very like every like 10 minutes something happened. It was very cool. Like, it was, and obviously because I didn't really realize what was going on for half of it, like everyone would just start screaming and standing up and I'd be like, oh, it's time to get up. It's happened again.
We were saying as well how it's interesting, I would imagine, because I've actually never been to a live football match before, but I would imagine that it's quite cool actually seeing footballers in real life, because you don't tend to see celebrities in general, you don't really tend to see in real life. So I imagine it's kind of crazy actually for a first time seeing footballers that you've only seen on a screen before actually in real life. And you were saying especially Marcus Rashford as well, because you kind of see him as more than a footballer first.
Yeah, because I was like, my take on it is like, I think there's a slight difference between celebrities, like, take, I don't know, the Kardashians, for example, or even like a film star and like a sports person that's a celebrity, obviously still celebrities, but with like a film star, say Angelina Jolie, you'd have to go somewhere really rare, like a film premiere to see them, or luckily like just run into them somewhere, right? You don't encounter those people. Whereas if you go to Wimbledon, you'll see like Djokovic or Roger Federer, like, or if you go to the Olympics, you'll see someone, or like if you go to football, you'll see football players. So I feel like it's more normalized to see them as football players rather than celebrities. In that sense,
they're a lot more accessible.
Yeah, as in they're right there in front of you. So that's why I wasn't starstruck by like really anyone, except Marcus Rashford, because I feel like I know him as a celebrity first and foremost because of when he's just been in the news, he's done stuff, the free school meal stuff, the knife crime stuff, like he's been in the news and done things, or he's been in current affairs and stuff. And then seeing him in front of me doing his actual job, I was like, oh, so cool.
Which I think is a testament to him as well. It's nice really that cool. He's, and it's all positive. I mean, I know obviously he's been in the press for some not
Yeah, but then obviously I'm a big fan of him because of like everything he's overcome in the press and everything that they've all been through together. So that was really cool to see. And it was really cool to see him in person. And he scored like 2 goals, I think. I think it was 2. It was really cool.
Yeah, I'm glad you had fun.
I did have fun. I will say, like, obviously you can hear people around you talking. People will be like, oh, that was a good pass, that was a bad pass, oh, you know, that person's open and blah, blah, blah. Without sounding like thick, to me, it was just football. It was just people playing football in front of me. I didn't have the discernment to be like, good pass, or that person's over there, go pass it to him or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, oh, nice.
Nice.
And I'd be like, they scored. He's on the floor.
Could you at least tell? Because I know Mayank, my wife, sometimes has to double check about this. Did you know like which way they were actually trying to score?
No. I had to ask. Okay. I had to clarify a few times. But it's easier in real life than it is on the TV. Because obviously you're sitting on the one side. So it's like, okay, now Manchester are that way or Barnsley is that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, they're on my side now. They're not on my side.
Yeah, where were you sat? Were you sat like as you see on a TV, or were you sat at a goal end?
A bit in the middle. We had really good seats, like kind of in the middle, like between the middle of the pitch and between that and the goal. So very, very good. So I could see pretty much everything. There was a lot of things actually I didn't really think about like going to a football game, like about the fact that you're actually there for a football game, not just like for a piss up. You're not just there for like social, like it's actually a game to be watched. And there's no commentators.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
So how am I supposed to know who's got the ball if you're not sitting there going Rashford, Garnacho? Like, I don't know. I don't know who these players are.
But I will say, I feel like for a first time football game, I feel like going
very
to,
good.
Yeah, and also going to Old Trafford as well, regardless yeah. of your opinions on football, I think everyone would agree that going to somewhere like Old very Trafford cool. for your first football game is a cool experience.
Very cool. Like, my family are long time Man United supporters, like hardcore Man United supporters. So it was like, everyone was very happy with me that I went there, had my little Man United top on. And no, it was actually really cool and good game to watch because it was a Tuesday. It was Barnsley. It wasn't like Man United City or Man United Liverpool or something. So it wasn't like rowdy. Because I got told, like, if it's a big game and something crazy happens, like a crazy goal or something, people grab you, people throwing drinks. Like, it's just nuts. None of that.
Yeah.
Thank God there was none of that. I think obviously Man United fans expected to win. I don't know if they expected 7-0, but like, it wasn't like they could go overly crazy with celebrating because it was a bit like,
yeah.
What did you expect?
Yeah.
So yeah, Tuesday night wasn't a huge game, but it was great for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you had fun.
I would go to another one. I think now I'm ready to go to a bigger one.
Maybe this time actually, like, you actually figure out, okay, what's actually happened. You'll be able to comment like, that was a good pass. That was a good, like.
Oh, I'll tell you one other thing I didn't realize about games. It's not, the crowd isn't split 50-50. So the crowd wasn't half Man United, half Barnsley. It's like 90% Man United. I don't know if that's really ignorant of me to say, but like, it's like 90% Man United and Barnsley had a little section. And there's like an away section.
Yeah.
And it's small.
I don't think that's ignorant. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be that much. Like,
it's like a little corner of the stadium was dedicated to the away fans. Everyone else is Man United.
I think it would depend on the game. Like,
and they have a row of security on either side of that section. And then like a good like 5-6 seats that are blocked out. No one can sit on it. And then there's security and then there's the fans.
That would not surprise me.
Yeah, because people fight.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I had to hold you back, Simran. You're getting a bit...
Me?
Yeah. Getting a bit too aggravated.
Getting a bit rowdy.
7-0's too lit.
7-0's too lit. It was actually me grabbing the people and screaming in their ears. No, it was fun. I would go to another one.
Yeah.
Good day out.
Speaking of good days out, Katy Perry is not having very many of them at the moment.
Great segue.
I give it 5 out of 10. Wasn't that great? No. But yeah, we were out and about with my friends last night while Simran's here, and we got to chatting about the latest in pop culture, and obviously, Katy Perry's
making a bit of a resurgence.
Yeah, her new album, I think it's a load of numbers. I want to say 413, but I don't know if that's true.
I don't know.
But yeah, this new album's coming out, and she's released 3 singles from it so far. It's a Woman's World, Lifetimes, and...
it's like, he's mine.
I think, yeah, the fact that we're struggling to come up with it is kind of telling of where we're at in terms of Katy
Something along
Katy
the lines
Perry.
Of, like, he's mine, I'm his, something like that.
Yeah, and fair, it's got a sample of, Crystal Waters, Gypsy Woman, She's Homeless, that song, which is, it's all right, but I think it's interesting because I think it looked like everything was set for Katy Perry to really have this really big comeback. I think the world kind of is in its like pop girly era right now. Like,
thank
everyone's
you, Charlie XCX.
Exactly, Charlie XCX. Even like on the other end of the spectrum, like Taylor Swift. Who else is there?
Lana.
Yeah, Lana. Dua Lipa. Camila Cabello. We've had so many albums this year and artists releasing music this year that has been very much like pop girly kind of vibe.
Mm.
And then here comes Katy Perry. You would think the formula's all there, ready for it to go.
Oh, I could not have actually said it better.
And yet, no.
Yeah.
Like, just no, it hasn't happened.
In my humble opinion, it's not.
It's not. It's only an opinion to a certain extent, because then you look at the charts and it's like, someone like Katy Perry, who has so much, what's the word? Positive history.
Like a good reputation. Yeah. She's got clout in that industry, in the pop girly world.
A good track record. Literally, Teenage Dream Deluxe Edition, one of the best pop albums of the noughties 2010s, if not all time, in my opinion. So many bangers on there. But now, it's just not happening for her. And I know, obviously, there's the controversy surrounding her working with Dr. Luke for her first single, Woman's World. which is kind of ironic because the reason why people have an issue with it is because of allegations made against him by Kesha. Won't go into that in too much detail, but I think people know what I'm talking about. But it's kind of, people find it a bit of irony that she's doing a song about empowering women when a lot of people accuse him of not doing so. Then she had Lifetimes, which didn't really even enter the chart. And then this new one, which again hasn't done that well, despite her even performing at the VMAs with it. And it's just a bit like, I don't know what she can really do to kind of get it back.
I think she's just missed the mark. Like, I just, even if you take the controversy aside for a minute, like, I feel like the music itself is not even slapping. Like, that song that I'm his, or whatever the hell it's called, with Doechii, it's on such a strong sample. Like, that Gypsy Woman, She's Homeless song, is such a strong... When I heard the sample, I was like, oh, banger, this is going to slap. Then she comes in, and first of all, I didn't even recognise her voice in the first verse. If you didn't tell me who it was, I wouldn't have guessed Katy Perry in a million years. And Doechii, the feature, absolutely carried.
This is the thing that's kind of embarrassing for Katy, is that so many people online are saying that Doechii, like you say, carried, and she's like the standout thing on that song. A feature is not meant to be the standout thing.
Maybe you can't get washed by a feature on your own song,
basically. Yeah, like even like something like Lady Gaga and Beyonce Telephone, right? They're equally standout on that. Like, neither one outshines the other. It's an iconic song because they're both amazing. I think that's the best example.
Yeah.
Whereas something like this, it's just a bit like...
I liked the video, but the video was a lot as well. The video was a bit of a hard watch at times. Like, I felt like she was... Like, Katy Perry was known for being, like, a pop icon, but also appealing to, like, young girls. Like, I was obviously quite young, like, when Firework came out. I know, like, what's that song, California Girls? California Girls is obviously a bit of a raunchy video. Like, people were making raunchy videos back then, don't get me wrong. But this video was, like, raunchy. Like, I wouldn't let, like, my younger cousins watch it.
So I think the thing is, it just feels slightly forced.
It does feel forced. And I'm talking about the parts with Katy Perry, and they're not so much the parts with Doechii in it. Like... there's a bit where she's on a car and she's popping it, and I'm thinking, like,
it's impressive.
I said, like, it's impressive, don't get me wrong. I said to Carlos, but I was like, since when did Katy Perry pop it like that? Like, since when?
Yeah, and I was saying as well, like, I've seen her on like a podcast. I think she was on the Call Me Daddy podcast, which, for those who don't know, is a podcast that is meant to discuss sex, I think, a lot of the time. Though I know when Zayn went on it, he was more talking about his music, so I'm not particularly sure.
I think it's evolved a bit.
Yeah, but Katy was very much going to town on that element of it, and
being quite vivid,
explicit in what she was saying, which is like, obviously I'm not here to not be sex positive and like say, okay, if you want to do that, fair enough. But I'm also a bit like, again, it just felt a bit like, I don't know, just out, it didn't really align with what she sold herself to be in the past 15 years. And I think if she was going to transition, because as well, I don't know what her last album was, but the one that where she like cut her hair off, like she started out with Chain to the Rhythm, and then it was Bon Appetit with Migos, which was a bit interesting. And then she had Swiss Switch, which was even more interesting. And it kind of just was a bit like, it was almost like she was having a Miley moment in like kind of like... shaving her hair off, turning blonde, all of that. Whereas this is kind of like that, but on a trying to do it seriously level. If that makes sense.
And it's just like, a bit like, I'm all here for like a brand pivot. Happens, right? Troye Sivan, like, I don't know, so many people like that have gone from one end to a complete other end of the spectrum, of just like completely pivoted their whole brand, their identity, their look, their persona, everything, right? I'm here for it. If that's who you are now, you can't say she needs to be Katy from 15 years ago, from Firework era. However, that podcasting seemed like it was just clickbaity sort of. I'm going to get on here. I'm going to talk about sexually explicit things in a such a vivid manner as well.
Doechii
carried.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how the album performs. Is there still a possibility she can save it? I don't know.
Did you see the big dress she wore? I want to say in Paris. There's a video of her. She gets out of a car and she walks into this big building. And there's like a people on either side, and she's wearing a dress, and the dress has like the lyric, the entirety of like a song lyric, like printed on it, the whole song. It's long.
Which song?
I don't know. It must be a new one. And the video goes on for like several minutes. I didn't even watch the whole thing. I remember I skipped through it and I was thinking, oh my God, it's still going. I don't know how far she must have gone inside that building. And it's still going, still going. And the poor thing, like the dress is tangled up that you can't even make out what it even says. Like, and even the people who were there were just like, woo, I guess.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for her in a sense.
In a sense. But like, I feel like she didn't need to do any of this. Like,
she really could have. But then again, it's like, if this is what she wants to do, if this is the music she wants to be making, fair enough. It's just like, I don't know. In a different universe, she came and did it in a different way. I don't know what. And it went a lot better. So,
speaking of celebrities making a choice.
Wow. I feel like The Apprentice becomes the master.
Justin Timberlake. Is that the one you thought I was going to say?
No, actually, I was thinking of a different one. But yeah, let's do that.
We've spoken about this online like 2 weeks ago, a few weeks ago. Because I went to go see him in concert. Justin Timberlake.
Mm.
Got arrested for driving under the influence. Very funny moment where the cop who arrested him was so young and then he muttered something under his breath. Justin did. He's like, this is going to be reenacted
again.
Okay, am I Justin?
Yeah.
Okay, I've just been arrested. This is going to ruin the tour.
Sorry, what tour?
The world tour. That's what happened.
To be fair, I don't think it has. I think everyone that's gone to see it
had a great time.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Anyway,
don't worry if you, previous Justin, everything's fine.
The reason why we bring this up is because I watched a video today. As you can tell, me and Carlos sat at that table and we lost our minds today, and we just everything that we came across the world on our phones, on the news, we were like, write that down. If I could show you the list, I would, but it's in pencil.
Yeah, it's a whole A4 page of scribbled in pencil.
Anyway. He had to do, I don't know if he had to or what the situation was, but he came in front of like the press and he basically made a talk about it, basically about like, I'm sorry for what I did and the dangers of drink driving and, you know, driving under the influence. And he's basically said, even if you have one drink, do not get behind the wheel of a car, which is a statement I support. I absolutely support the statement. I have said that forever. Me personally, I do not ever ingest alcohol and then drive my car.
I'm either one or the other. Like, I just won't.
Even yesterday, like, you just didn't touch one. Like,
yeah, because I was like, what's the point?
Yeah, because Carlos had his car and I thought, like, oh, you're not going to drink even just like one? And he was like, no, like, I'm just not. And he didn't. Like, and I fully back that. Like, I'm since I started to drive, I never, ever have, like, even one drink.
Yeah.
And get behind the wheel of car. I just don't see the point.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that part aside, he's like, yeah, so one drink, don't even get behind the wheel, cool. And he's like, there are so many alternatives.
Yeah, that was just such
and then
a
he can't
weird.
Think, and then he can't think of the alternatives, and he's like, call a friend.
But you know what's so funny is that was such a weird thing to say. And the way that he said it, he said that even if you only have one drink, there are so many alternatives. And I was like, wait, do you mean alternatives to drinking? Like different ways to have fun? Like,
oh my like, God, I really hope not. And yeah, he's like, he goes, call a friend. And then he pauses for a little while longer and he goes, take an Uber. And then he goes, he's something along the lines of like, there are many ride apps or something. There are many travel apps.
There are many travel apps.
Like, yeah, because I think he couldn't just endorse Uber. And he goes like, then he goes, take a taxi. I'm like, what is an Uber if not a taxi, just slightly modified?
Thing that's funny, well, not funny, but it's kind of
too...
The thing that it made me think of as well is I was kind of like, someone with so much money like Justin Timberlake, there really is no excuse as well. You have so much, and I get that you can't necessarily get into a taxi with anyone because of safety and whatever, but when you've got that much money, you're telling me that Justin Timberlake can't have a private driver. Like,
I mean, yeah, maybe there's some elite Uber that we don't even know about.
Yeah, you know, there's like an elite dating app. I can't remember what it's called.
Raya.
Yeah.
That ain't elite. I was on that.
Do you not come across anyone famous?
Yeah, they never match you. It'd be like not Lewis Hamilton, but it'd be like people of that level, like really famous people. And it was just rubbish. I've spoken about this on the show before, I'm pretty sure.
I know someone that said that they came across Rylan on Tinder of all places. I was like, is it actually real? But it's verified, so surely it must be real.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for Rylan.
Yeah.
Anyway, but unless it was part of his, like, bail terms or something like that, like his, like, sentencing conditioning, like, for him to get in front of the press and give this speech, because maybe they were like, you could use your influence for good.
I don't think it will have been an actual requirement. I think it will have been his team would have thought it's the right thing to do, because I reckon the reason why he was making that statement is because he has only just been sentenced. I think he received a suspended sentence, but he's got to do some community service.
Right.
I think that's a...
Yeah, but I mean, we don't need driving advice from Justin Timberlake right now.
It's what the world needs.
This is random and it's not even on our sheet. Tell you who I do need driving advice from: RuPaul. RuPaul helped me parallel park because he started making videos on TikTok about driving, not just driving.
Because of Drag Race, or
because no, you know, nothing to do with Drag Race.
Because Drag Race is obviously referenced.
Oh no, no! But it was like, come along with Mama Ru, and I'll teach you how to parallel park. And then they parallel park a car. We did a tire change. There were so many ones. Go on his TikTok. It's amazing.
Do you not already know how to parallel park?
Yeah, I'm all right at it, but there were some tips that helped.
Go on.
I don't know. I knew it in the car. I can't tell you. I need to be in a car.
All I do when I parallel park is drive so I'm, like, literally parallel to the car. Like, make sure that I'm in line with the wing mirror, and then turn the wheel full lock. Turning in, as soon as I can see my wheel going near the pavement, I then turn it back full lock, and then it works.
Yeah, that's why I didn't explain it, because I don't know what you just said.
Yeah, neither do I, to be honest. But
thanks, RuPaul.
Thank you, RuPaul.
And not thank you, Justin Timberlake.
Speaking of public figures disgracing themselves, we can't even say their podcast name because it's a swear word. The Shits and Gigs podcast has come under fire recently because they basically went on another podcast. I think it was an American person who runs it.
It's called Flagrant.
The podcast is called Flagrant. And the clip that I've seen, basically the podcast host, I think, what's his name again?
Andrew Schulz.
He starts kind of going on, he basically starts talking very unfiltered about dating and I think
interracial relationships,
black women vs white women, etc. And I'm not going to go into the details of it exactly, but the Shits and Gigs hosts, for those who don't know, are two black men, and they kind of sat there whilst this non-black man talked quite derogatively about, made jokes about black women.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, sat there and laughed along.
Saying they were, like, aggressive, almost pointed to, like, there was a little, like, tiny theme of, like, domestic violence and stuff like that.
I think he made a reference to the hair as well, or
something like that.
Yeah.
Definitely just playing into, like, angry black woman trope of just, like, really, he really hit that point home. And yeah.
The rest. Yeah. And the two and Gigs hosts just kind of sat there, laughed along. I don't think they necessarily contributed anything too bad themselves, but it was kind of just the fact that they sat there and just didn't say anything.
Enabled it as well.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't contradict it. They didn't, like, oppose it in any way. They kind of just sat there and laughed along. I do think it was kind of similar. We were saying, like, to the Sidemen P-word incident, in that, obviously, KSI in that instance said the P word, and everyone around him kind of just laughed and didn't. They might have been a bit embarrassed by it, but they didn't say anything in the moment.
I think the difference with that video, though, is that the way that everyone else reacted was they definitely knew it was bad. Mm. Like, everyone was like, oh, like, they were laughing, but they were laughing in that way that it was like, oh, like, damn.
That's, yeah.
And they're not stupid, like, they know.
Mm.
In the political world, like, in the climate we live in now, like, they knew the full force of what that word means. And he could not have said that word.
Yeah. And as
so all, how that made it.
Exactly. When we talked post, about that, like, a year and a half ago, about, like, how it's so silly that, yeah. But in this circumstance, like you're saying, these two kind of just sat here and there wasn't any visible signs that they were feeling any kind of uncomfortableness about what was happening. Fast forward to this podcast actually going out. Obviously, there's a massive uproar. Loads of people having an issue with
It's on BBC News.
Was it actually?
On the website. That's how I heard about this.
Yeah, it's all kicking off. I saw on Shade for her. Obviously, the and Gigs podcast is getting loads of flack, as is the podcast host, but I think the target audience of the actual podcast, I think they're used to the fact that it is quite...
It's...
unfiltered.
Yeah, it's kind of centered around that point.
Yeah, borderline, well, not even borderline, but literally offensive. And a lot of this, I think his audience know what to expect, yeah. And there's a reason why that audience listened to it. But the Shits and Gigs podcast, regardless of what you think about its content, it's not necessarily framed around offending anyone or, yeah, any kind of like social bias or anything like that. Basically, it's basically like we were discussing before, it's kind of laughing at other people's like content.
Yeah, tweets and stuff. Like, yeah.
That's basically what it is. But these guys then came out and made an apology. And we watched a bit of it today, and I was just, in my personal opinion, I just feel like there wasn't really any substance to it.
I think the apology made the situation worse, and I think it was not needed. I think not that what happened on the original podcast was okay, and not that those comments were okay, but as a social situation that like unfolded and has now had received commentary from social media users, it will have passed. It would have passed. Do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't gain so much traction. Whereas I think now with the apology, it really like addresses the situation, which isn't a bad thing.
But I think that's the thing. If they had addressed it and actually had full on like shown some kind of remorse, shown what they've learned, shown how they're going to be moving forward.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But there wasn't really any of that.
No.
It was almost like they were kind of blaming the podcast host.
Which I thought was strange because you have like media relationships with people. So it's kind of like, I felt a bit burning that bridge in that sense, which is that's not my business. But I think like some of the like kind of reasons that they were saying didn't really like sit that well, because I was just thinking like they said like fight or flight. They were like, fight or flight is a real thing in the moment. You want to move on as fast as you can. But then I think as adults, it's like, it's almost your duty and your responsibility to call out certain behaviors sometimes like on such a massive platform and things like that. And I know like Andrew Schulz has come back and said they had the opportunity to cut that out, like they cut other bits that were recorded out. Why didn't they cut that bit out?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to move on from it so fast, why aren't you just trying to erase it?
Again, is in no way defending him.
No, none of this is. I'm just saying.
But yeah, they've clearly had the opportunity to do that. And it was the fact that in the apology, they said, oh, there were so many instances in which they really felt uncomfortable. They wanted to move on, whatever. And it's just like, if you actually had that experience, surely afterwards, if you actually cared, you would go and say, look, there was a lot of that that I really wasn't comfortable with. I'd really like to see an edit of that. And again, seeing as Andrew Schulz has claimed that they did have the opportunity to do this, they would have gone and then kind of expressed an intent to remove it. It's just not really giving apology. It's kind of giving blame shifts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I wanted to speak about was another part of that video, the apology video, where they said that they didn't realize that as being a part of one community, you don't realize how you can hurt your own community. And I'm not sure how I felt about that, because I feel like you're obviously aware that you can hurt your own community, especially when you have such a large platform and you jump on a mic every week to make commentary about social media, about people's tweets, people sending submissions about funny things that have happened to them. You laugh and you joke, like that is so cool, whatever. They've built their platform off of that, and obviously so many people enjoy it. Cool. They've had a world tour of it. Amazing. But how can you then not realize the role that you hold and the platform that you hold? And then along with that, the kind of responsibility that comes with it in terms of you doing your duty to not disrespect certain groups, especially not your own.
Yeah. It's like we were saying when we were talking about this before, there should be no kind of obligation for these two people to be seen as the pillars of the British Black community. They shouldn't have that rest on their shoulders. If they don't, I don't think they want to be seen as that. No. There shouldn't be any obligation for that. But if you're going to go and actually partake in stuff on a platform where you're very clearly delving into issues such as race, social justice, whatever, you can't then get annoyed when people like point of that group. Yeah, exactly. And I think as well, like, if we're going to say you can't harm the group that you're a member of, I think it's fair enough to say that if you come from a certain demographic, you can pick at that demographic in a jokey way, like within reason. You should know what the limit is because you're from that demographic. It's like how as South Asians, we might make fun of ourselves. Like Halim is made fun of, like, her house for smelling of curry all the time, for example, which is a racist trope about South Asian people, but it's like, it's kind of claiming it back in a sense. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it's like, it's kind of turning a positive spin on it. There's a limit. Yeah, exactly. There's a limit. And also, like, you should know, like, also, there's no reason for these people to be speaking on black women anyway. Like,
they wasn't black.
Yeah, they're not black women. Like I know obviously the person who spoke about this wasn't even black, but even them as, like, enabling this content, they're not black women in themselves. So why are they commenting on black women in the first place?
But I think the big thing was, is that I didn't understand how you can look over the fact that you, as a person who has a platform, don't still have some responsibility to your community, and that you just, that you need to recognize that you do in fact have the power to hurt your community.
Yeah. It's kind of like,
how does that go over your head?
Yeah, it's kind of like, we're not saying that everyone needs to, in every single situation, analyze every single social standing and demographic of a situation and think, okay, how is this? But on the flip side of things, people who say, oh, I don't see race, I don't see color, that's stupid, because obviously it's still there. It still means something. There's still so much context behind that. And I think it's the same here. It's like, you can't take away from the fact that you're from this community and you do have you don't have an obligation to be an esteemed spokesperson for that community, but I think you have a duty to stand up for whatever community you come from in a positive way. And if you're not going to do that, then I don't think you can be annoyed when people get angry at you for not doing that.
Yeah.
On a, like, flip side from that, I was wondering, like, what do you think about associating with people through a secondary relationship whose values don't align with yours? Now, obviously, what we just discussed is kind of a primary relationship because they agreed to go on that podcast and they very easily could have voiced their concerns about it. But what I'm making reference to is the fact that Taylor Swift... Exactly, find a way to bring her into this. Taylor Swift, obviously she's dating... was it Travis Kelce, who's a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Another member of his football team, their partner, has basically, I don't know if they're an open Trump supporter or whatever, but they've basically shown some kind of allegiance to Donald Trump before, which people have kind of then found fault with Taylor Swift for hanging out with her, given Taylor Swift has spoken out against Donald Trump in the past. They're like, well, how can you hang out with someone who thinks X, Y, Z, whatever, whatever. So I'm wondering, like, what do you think about, like, those kind of situations where you're kind of put into an awkward situation where you kind of have to hang out with someone who might not align with your values? Like, should you kind of just get up and walk away, or should you, like, just put a smile on and get through it like she did? I don't know.
Yeah, I think I have a bit of an unpopular opinion on this, and I just don't think it's always your responsibility to educate someone. If you're in it, you have to acknowledge the relationship you have with this person and the setting you're in. If I'm at a party and somehow the conversation gets onto politics and it's someone that is like my friend's friend from work's plus one, right? Never met them before, might not see them again. And they're saying some, like, really crazy things that I just don't align with, I don't agree with, I think I would just walk away or change the conversation if they were still a nice person. Like, this might actually be so unpopular, but really I just don't think it's anyone's job to sit there and be like, well, this is what I think, you should think it too, or like, this is my reasons why, or this is my lived experience. So valid to do it, but pick the place and the time and the setting and the relationship to do it in.
Pick your battles wisely.
Yeah, and I just feel like... And, like, if you meet people through someone else, you just want to be polite and, like, you just want to, like, get on with it sort of thing. Forget, like, if they're talking about it to your face in the moment, that's one thing. But if, I don't know, in this case, if they're like an avid and out there Trump supporter, and she knows that, but they weren't talking about politics when they were together, they've just been seen together, they couldn't talk about makeup, I don't know, they couldn't talk about anything, mm-hmm. right? Then, you know, you can just get on with it. Like, you are, it's natural to have differences as humans. Like, I'm not saying that it's okay to think certain things,
yeah.
but like, it's natural that you're not always going to have like a perfect alignment with people on like a political spectrum or whatever it may be, right? Like,
yeah, I think it all depends on the relationship as well. Like, if Taylor Swift was then choosing to hang out with this person outside and become best friends with them, then maybe I would say, if you're going to choose to establish an actual solid relationship with a person, you obviously should be aware of the type of person you're hanging out with. And if their values are problematic, then I would argue that is your duty to try and educate the person, and if not, then you then have to make the hard decision of, okay, do I actually want to hang out with this person? And if you do, then you are choosing to hang out with someone who has problematic
But I'm not gonna lie, for a lot of people, I don't think they care, because it's for a lot of me, like us lot, we're all very different. Like, we're very active in our activism, we have very strong opinions. The more I go out there, people really exercise their privilege of not wanting to be involved in politics. Like, people, obviously, we acknowledge it's a privilege to choose to not want to know about things, right?
Yeah.
People love that. People, like, don't want to talk about it. They don't want to bring it, which I do to a certain extent. Like, you don't need to talk about it at every family gathering or every place. You know it's going to spark tension and stuff like that. Yeah, like I said, pick your battles. But I think a lot of people would just be like, well, I like them as a person. Who cares if we align differently on our political opinions and stuff?
I just think it depends.
Not me personally.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on, like, where that political opinion line is drawn. Like, if they're then...
Oh, yeah, if it's extreme.
If they're then oppressing
people. It's scary. People.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that also comes back to it as well, back on the whole picking your battles line. I think it also depends on who you are as a person, what context is in. For example, I would argue that, white people probably do have more of an obligation to educate other white people on issues such as race, or straight people have an obligation to educate other straight people on LGBTQ plus issues, because they're in a privileged enough position to not be criticized or looked down upon by other people who might have homophobic or racist views, and they're in a better position to actually offer an insight and education to these people that might help alter their viewpoint and ultimately A, make them a better person, and B, relieve the world of a little bit of racism and homophobia. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you are a person of colour or you are a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I don't think there should be any obligation for you in a situation where someone is being racist or homophobic, for example, to then be the voice of reason and provide that education, because A, you're very likely going to be in danger, and B, then probably not going to listen to you as well. Like, to be honest, if they're speaking in a derogatory manner about someone from your community or your community in general, why are they then going to listen to you? That's why I feel like it is the duty of other people, and why I would argue that maybe, like, in this instance with Taylor Swift, maybe it is something that she probably should be having that conversation. But then again, it comes down to this whole thing as well of, like, we don't know every single conversation that Taylor Swift is having. We don't know what she's doing, and, like, you can't, but like,
I think that also
in that way.
I think it also points to how far idolized she is at this point, because why does your politic, why are you looking to her for, like, for anything political?
Well, this is the thing.
I know there's the argument of, like, platform and all that kind of stuff and influence and stuff, right? But
there was also the fact of, after the presidential debate, how Taylor Swift went and endorsed Kamala Harris, and the whole world kind of reacted in the way that it does to it. And I think obviously a lot of Trump supporters then found fault with Taylor Swift for doing this. And I believe
Donald Trump literally tweeted, he tweeted, "I hate Taylor Swift."
The point is as well, is that the partner that I'm referring to of the Kansas player, she voiced concern over Donald Trump's candidacy for president in light of that. So it's kind of like, you can excuse all of the other stuff, all of the other problematic stuff, in my opinion, about Donald Trump and his policies. But when it comes to criticizing Taylor Swift, that's the final straw. Like, too far.
I feel like a lot of people are probably in the same.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, I watched this TikTok, right? And this girl was like, basically saying like how her like really old, quite unwell grandmother is pretty openly racist. And she was saying this in a very lighthearted, jokey way. But a lot of her comments were saying like, oh my God, and you let her be racist? You need to check her. It's your responsibility to check your grandma on da da da. She was like, I'm not checking her. Like, she was saying it in a very like jokey way. Like, she was making a lot of references to like her age and like a lot of things, right? And how she's not going to be able to vote in the next election and stuff like that. But like, what you like, it really comes down to picking your battles. Like,
yeah, exactly. If someone's like literally got dementia and they're not even going to remember what you're saying to them. It's true. Like, literally, there is no point. Like, there's no point. They're not going to remember what you're saying.
She was like, I'm not checking my grandma, because what is me checking like an 80 whatever, like however old she was, woman, going to actually help the state of the world? It's not. And I'm just going to cause an argument in my family because of it.
I think like it is a case of literally, it's very subjective.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I do think like it starts with the little conversations. That's how you enact change, by speaking to someone with a different opinion than you might hold, and you share your lived experience, whether it's as a minority, a person that belongs to the LGBTQ plus community, whatever it may be, right? You might have a disability, whatever, right? It begins with those chats of meeting people and just sharing your experience and being like, well, this is what I think and this is what I believe and this is what I've experienced living in so-and-so country, right? Like, and that's how it starts. But if you're going to put yourself in danger, if you're going to put yourself in a vulnerable situation, if you're going to, you know, cause an argument or just like, you know, cause a massive rift, like I said, pick your battles, just be safe, go about it with consideration and just be sensible.
Yes, agreed. Get into the more serious part of today's show. Just wanted to touch upon the latest developments in the Middle East. I'm sure people will have seen in the news what has been happening in Lebanon. So for those that don't know, a load of electronic devices in Lebanon that were supposedly supposed to be owned by members of Hezbollah have exploded. On Tuesday, it was pagers, a load of pagers exploded, and on Wednesday, it was walkie-talkies. More than 2,600 people have been injured by this, and also 37 people have lost their lives, including at least a couple of children. I don't think Israel has actually claimed responsibility for this. I'm not sure, but it is assumed.
But it was an Israeli shipment of the electronic devices, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, which obviously have then gone and exploded. And since this has happened, Israel has launched airstrikes in southern Lebanon as well.
I think without even going through the last 11 months of events that we've discussed very much on this show, this is just another example added to a very long list of acts committed by Israel that show its utter disregard for international law. And just the extent to which it can act with complete impunity and just carry out such, oh my God, like dystopian at this point, acts of violence. Like, I was literally saying that this sounds like it was something out of like a Netflix drama, because all the walkie-talkies and all the pages exploded simultaneously.
And the fact that it's literally the news that like the officials in Lebanon are literally going and destroying electronic devices because they don't know what's next.
Anything could be suspicious. Like, it's insane. It's so past the point of depravity that we're reporting on this because we have to report the facts, but I don't even have any more commentary to give on it other than I actually don't even know what to say anymore. Like, it's just shocking. If it wasn't shocking 11 months ago.
It's mad how it's coming up to a year since October 7th. And before anyone says, that's obviously not to discredit the atrocities that were obviously committed on October 7th, but we also have to consider the atrocities that have been considered every single day since October 7th in Palestine and surrounding countries. So the UN General Assembly has actually just voted for imposing sanctions on Israel for the first time in 42 years, which basically implies that it basically sets a precedent that countries across the world, members of the UN, should be imposing sanctions on Israel. It's now up to like the people from individual countries to put pressure on their officials to do so.
Obviously, this is a step in the right direction as far as international law has been enforced, but we shall see.
We will see. Rounding off today's episode, what is this? Because you've written down this Google search efficiency.
Oh my God. So first of all, Carlos wrote on here, Simran, getting a life, ? And my answer to that is no. I will not get a life.
It was either get a life or get a job.
No to both. No to both. Thanks though. Been real. Mm. Anyway, this is mine getting back at Carlos. So we were talking about like surnames, like Indian surnames, South Asian surnames, and like how they kind of indicate where you might be from, where your parents might be from. Mm. And then we were talking about how like some people have the surname Singh, but it doesn't necessarily, or they have Singh as their middle name and it doesn't necessarily mean they're Sikh or Punjabi. It's just kind of just like
where I was
withdrawn and stuff.
Blissfully ignorant until today.
And then Carlos brought up Vic Star.
What, Vic Star 1, 2, 3?
And then we couldn't figure out where Vic Star comes from. And I don't think we know still.
I still think he's Punjabi, you know, because
maybe, I don't know.
I think online suggests of the singers in there, and yeah, then also the fact that Barn, like, and I'm pretty sure that
I've never heard that sound. Anyway, this really isn't about Vic Star, but
no offense, Vic Star. Come on the show, please.
Really?
Yeah, we played him before. He's a DJ now.
Yeah, I forgot. Anyway, anyway, this is not about Vic Star. We were trying to figure out where Vic Star was from, okay? So I was like, oh, find out what his parents are called. Like, find out what his parents' names are. Maybe we can figure out from there, right? Mm. And Carlos starts typing into Google, what is the names of Vic Star's parents? And I was like, you could have done that in so many less words than you used. Like, if it was me, I just would have been like, Vic Star 123 parents. I don't know if it's a generational difference because you're going to be 38 next month, but like...
What the
like, but I just feel like you were like, you may as well have been there like, what space is space, Vic?
When like, did this become the roast Carlos segment?
Like, you may as well have just put your glasses on and like held the phone over there. Like, you can Google things with efficiency. Like, if I wanted to know, like, how long does a kangaroo live for? Kangaroo lifespan. Not like, what is the average lifespan of a kangaroo? You know, technology has evolved so we can make our lives more efficient.
I feel attacked.
You should. And I was thinking it, while he was doing it, I was thinking it in silence because I was like, I'm going to do this on the show. Instead of shouting at him in the moment.
Look, I don't do that all the time. I think it was...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like if you ask Google a question, it should give you an answer. If you type in words...
I admire
like...
the politeness and the respect.
But... Yeah, also, you're the one who keeps on saying about we should speak to like the internet politely because we don't know when they're going to turn on us.
That's AI. That's ChatGPT.
Right, so what do you want me? Do you want me to stop?
Maximize your Google search efficiency with less words.
You know what, Simran? You know what? The way that you're speaking just screams of the capitalist corporate mindset that's been drilled into you, where time is money, efficiency is everything. Look, it's fine to be a little bit simple sometimes.
It's like when we were playing the game yesterday. We were playing this game where you were like being a character and everyone had to figure out what character you were. And then you could tell someone and then Nazgul was writing like, I am the M25. But like, do you know what I mean? Like, she could have just wrote M25.
Yeah, I don't have any defense for that.
Yeah. That's it.
Right, so that's just on Carlos. That's where we're at now.
Oh, I love that part of the show.
Right.
But we also tune in 2 minutes from now when we record the next episode. We are recording next week's episode now, though, so.
See you in a couple
of
minutes.
2 minutes. Bye.
For people listening to this, actually, we will see you next week, but yeah.
Bye.
Bye.